Numbers chapter 16, and we pick up here in verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses, against Aaron, and they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, a cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, and notice who God spoke to. Moses. Didn't speak to the congregation. Why? Because they were murmuring against Moses, Aaron. They were really murmuring against God. And he said in verse 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell on their faces. See, this is so important to understand. A spiritual man is going to want to intercede. Even for a congregation, I'm not talking about you folks, but for a congregation that's going to murmur against them. And Moses and Aaron take a censer and put it therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is a wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on the incense and make atonement for the people. Verse 48, he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle, and the congregation of the plague was stayed. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Korah had led a murmuring against Moses and Aaron, and the judgment of Korah and two other men with their families were swallowed up into hell. And 250 men followed them, and they were consumed. And the next day, the people of Israel criticized Moses, believing the judgment was too severe. Now, let's just put our think caps on before we get into the study. Who sent the plague upon them? Was it Moses? Who was it? It was God. And then they come to Moses and they say, well, we think it was too severe. The issue was the same. People rebel against divinely appointed positions, leaders, to rebel against God, God's man, God's authority, God's church, is to rebel against God. Now, notice verse 11 of the same chapter. And for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord, and what is Aaron that you murmur against him? So it wasn't only Moses, it was Aaron, and Korah and his cohorts presumed to challenge God's sovereign choices. Now, beloved, let's look at Numbers 16 and verse 30-32, and the Bible says, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all the appertain unto them, and they go down quick unto the pit, then shall ye understand that all these men had provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and their goods. So we find here that they took out on God's, they took this all out on God's man, and they belittled these calling and enjoyed the position of the priesthood. And Aaron, Moses and Aaron, Numbers chapter 16, knows verse 9 through 10, and the Bible says, chapter 16, verse 9 and 10, seemeth it but a small thing unto that the God of Israel hath separated from his congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation and minister to them. So God is speaking here to the Levites. And this was an opportunity for the Levites to serve the Lord and serve the congregation. And the Bible says in verse 10, and it brought, and he hath brought thee near to him, and all the brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. So we find here Levites had been servicing in the tabernacle, and they had rebelled against the authority over them. Again, this is rebellion. There's murmur going on. Chapter 16, verse 13, and the Bible says, it is a small thing that thou wast brought up out of the land and flowed with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make altogether prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth milk and honey, and given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards, with thou put out the eyes of these men, will come up, we will not come up. And Moses, in verse 15, Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, respect not now their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, and neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. So God was dealing with them under the leadership of Moses, and Moses was wound up saying, what are you doing? You God brought you into the land of milk and honey, and God has blessed us greatly, and now you're going to murmur. You're going to murmur against God. You're going to murmur against the authority over you, and so on. So God starts praying against you. Let me back up just to say this. If the man of God starts praying against you, you're in trouble. And that's what Moses did. He prayed against them. And you don't want that, beloved. I'm telling you right now, I pray every day. I pray for all you every day. I'm interceding. I'm trying to obey God and do God's will. And you don't want to get to a place where a preacher starts praying against you. I'm telling you the truth. And that needs to be understood and received. Now, however, Moses, the intercessor, gave instruction to Aaron. Notice he says here in verse 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun. Now, Aaron means the enlightened, and also the bright one, or the one that shines. And that's the way an intercessor ought to be, a shining light, a testimony, a light to the lost and to the saved. And he will discover principles of intercession, of intercessing in prayer and proclaiming Christ to the unsaved. And this is the job of the New Testament church. This is the job of you individually to be an intercessor. And we discover the principles here. And first of all, we see Aaron runs among the people. Notice verse 46 and 47. We just read 46. Verse 47, Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague had begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. So first of all, we see an intercessor cannot be a monk or a hermit. And, the idea of that, I'm going to be so separated from the world, I'm not going to be part of the world, I'm going to live a separate life. That's not the Bible way. That's not the way Christ was. He went among the people. He worked among the people. He visited people. He was alone at night in the garden. He had men come see him. He went to a well for a woman, the woman at Samaria, and she was drawing water. He was there. He preached to the multitudes. Well, I'm saying Jesus sought people out. Zacchaeus up a tree. He looked for people. He wanted to save people. He wanted to have people come to him. And so an intercessor cannot become a monk or a hermit. Cannot be out of touch with reality. And the reality is, you know this, that people have souls, they're sinners, and they need to be saved. And it must know that people and discern their needs. You know, the Bible says here, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3, please. Ezekiel chapter 3. And the Bible teaches here in Ezekiel 3. And notice, if you would, verse 15. The Bible says in chapter 3, verse 15, then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib that dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of the mouth and give them warning from me. So the Bible tells us here that Ezekiel sat where they sat. And the Bible says he sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me. You know, it's not something that you immediately have to, start witnessing for Christ. It might be good to get to know someone for a little bit. And maybe you'd have more success when you get to know them. I'm not talking about years. I'm talking about, you know, have a conversation. Be interested in others. And the idea of you need to sit where they sit. And not to do what they've done, but you've got to sit where they sit. You've got to be compassionate and concerned about them. And that's what intercessors do. They relate to the need of people, the sin of people. Nehemiah chapter 1, we've read that many times, verse 4 through 7. And what did Nehemiah do? He interceded for the sins of Israel and so on. And you know, I've mentioned this morning about interceding. You've got to commiserate. You've got to intercede. You've got to feel the weight of their situation, their sin. You know, don't be so cavalier and just, you know, make it the same thing. You've got to meet the needs of people. You've got to be in their lives. You've got to care for them and be concerned. That's what Jesus did. And we need to be the same way. In Matthew 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes. Now, Jesus never sinned. He couldn't sin. He has his Father's nature. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion on them. And the Bible says in verse 38, and pray you therefore to the Lord of harvest that will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we ought to be moved when we see the multitudes. We ought to have compassion. You know, New Yorkers, and I say this with great respect, you know, you people take on a lot. I take on a lot. There's so many things that come into our lives. So many advertisements. So many posters. So many commercials, so whether on radio, TV, whatever you're doing, we're bombarded. There's an overload at times. But Jesus, what did he do? He didn't see the advertisements. He didn't see the offering of the different products. He saw people, and when he saw the people, he was moved with compassion. Why? Because he knew they were sheep without a shepherd. He knew they were lost. They knew that they were in sin. That's why Jesus came. He saw the need. And so he said, pray the Lord of harvest that I'll send forth laborers into his harvest. So intercessors confess the sin of the people. In Psalm 106, verse 6, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. See, there's an understanding of the sin of the people, whether you're in our country or any other place. We're all sinners. We all fall short. And so we need to understand this. And again, do you ever wonder what God must think of America? I mean, you think about just being unthankful. Think about the presumption. Think about murder. The gluttony in our country, rebellion, perverse, vile, lustful, wicked nation. I learned some things this week, beloved, which I would never tell anyone. Our country is so wicked. And let me just tell you, It's not just people being rebellious toward God. It's people who are given over to the devil. I say that in all seriousness. People are devil worshipers. It's in the music industry. It's in the movie industry. It's on TV. It's in politics. It's worldwide. And the stuff that goes on that is worshiping the devil is anti-Christ. It's against God. We need to understand that. This is not just, Republican against Democrat, conservative, liberal. This is God against Satan. That's what it comes down to. Satanist. And that's why we got to pray, beloved. There are people who have bought into the world lock, stock, and barrel and are just in bondage. They're in sin. They're up to their eyeballs, and there's no way out. They don't see a way. When Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. When Jesus said, the Bible says, I'm going to set them free, and you'll be free indeed. That's what God offers man. But man is in such bondage. That's why we've got to intercede. That's why we've got to pray. You just talking to someone or maybe being nice to someone is not good enough. We've got to pray for people. We've got to intercede. We've got to pray for countries. So Aaron ran among the people. That's important to understand. He ran. Second of all, Aaron had to do it alone. Notice verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran unto the midst of the congregation. He was all by himself. It was a designated one. It was a price to be paid. Sometimes there's loneliness when you intercede for others. And not always pleasing self, going with the crowd. Intercession many times is done alone in a prayer closet, in privacy. What are you doing? You're realizing, you're again, it's reality. You're considering the needs of other peoples, other people. It's Christ-like to intercede. And we'll see that in a little bit. So he had a price to pay, and he could only be strengthened and sustain the Lord. God will strengthen you and help you, sustain you. When Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, he faced the devil. There was temptation there, and he was only sustained by the Lord. And I think of people that need our prayers. I know you know this, beloved, but we need to pray for Bangladesh. That's a Muslim country. It's a very dark country, spiritually. And then on top of that, there's Hinduism there. Then on top of that, there's false Christianity. But I'm telling you, God is working in Bangladesh. He's using Brother Nathaniel in a great way. And then in Pakistan, praying for Brother Nadim and praying and intercede for him, praying for the people there. There's Brother Munir, his brother who helps him in ministering to the people in Pakistan, and also his brother-in-law is Nadim. His name is Nadim. He's pastoring a second church, and so we have to intercede. And I want to ask you this today is, who are you interceding for? Is it just you? It's just your world? I want to say this to you in all due kindness. If that's the case, how small? God's the God of the universe. And he sees the whole world. We need to pray for China today. We need to pray for Indonesia. We need to pray for Thailand and the Philippines. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the Middle East, the Czech Republic. We need to pray for Poland, for Canada, Europe, Mexico. We need to pray for New York City. I'm saying is this, beloved, this is not just to provoke you, say, oh, amen, 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 but rather to get you serious about what you need to do as an intercessor, as praying for the lost. Notice in the book of Jonah, chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. And notice, if you would, chapter 4 of Jonah. And notice verse 10 and verse 11. Then said the Lord, and this is the mind, the way God sees things. Thou hast had pity on the gourd, which thou had not labored, neither made it to grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. So Jonah had this, he was really sorrowful. About what? I want to say this to you in all due kindness, beloved, but we need to be spiritually minded. So Jonah was troubled greatly by a gourd. You know what a gourd is? That's what he was bothered about. And so many times people get so consumed with this life, the emptiness, and they get overwhelmed. Oh, my car, oh, my wash machine, my dryer, my dishwasher, all these different things. What am I going to wear? There's a greater need, beloved, and that's in verse 11. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, where more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, and also much cattle. So here, where God thinks, he's not thinking about the temporal. He's thinking about eternity. He's not thinking about, your problem. And your problem is very important to God. God don't want to carry your problems. God wants to cast your problem on him. But here, God is looking at what concerns him. And he's concerned about a city of Nineveh. He's not concerned about some dopey gourd. And sometimes people can be so shallow, even among Baptists, be so shallow about things that they're concerned about and so on. And I understand, there are, in a situation, you may be concerned, but God is concerned about souls. God's interested in souls. He says, cast your care upon me. Why? He cares for you. He doesn't want you to be overwhelmed. He doesn't want you to be troubled. But God is more interested in where people are going to spend eternity. So the intercession to God is so important, beloved. The third thing is Aaron took great risk. And what was the risk? He was in danger of contacting the plague. It was going to cost us something. The Good Samaritan in the New Testament has placed himself in danger by contamination. In Luke chapter 10, verse 33 and 34, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds and so on. So there was a situation where the Bible says the priest passed by, the Levite passed by, the priest stands for religion, Levite stands for government, and there's no answer. The Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus Christ, the child of God, he'll go by and he'll interact with that person who's been beat up by society, and he's half dead. He means he's alive physically, but dead spiritually. Again, we go by and we have compassion on people. There's no shortcuts, beloved. In John chapter 12, verse 24, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die. Again, we've got to die. We've got to be done with ourselves and live unto God. And there's no shortcut, and an intercessor cannot get comfortable. An intercessor will be vulnerable, subject to special attack. Now, I'm not saying come to church and tell us about the attack the devil had on you. I'm saying that there's going to be attacks. Why? Because the devil's not pleased with you. He's not pleased with your living God. He wasn't pleased with Job. He sent an attack. He sent on his material wealth, his children, they're all gone. He sent it again on his life physically. He was just a lump of infection sitting there on a dunghill scraping himself. And so we've got to understand the devil's going to attack. But this is not something you broadcast to people. It's not something you tell everyone about. Other thing we see here, verse 46, Aaron went in haste. The Bible says, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation. He made haste. This is not a time for discussion or an appointed committee. We have no time, beloved. We're about at the door of the Lord's return. They say, preacher, you're just saying about at the door. It may be today. But the time is telling us. I was speaking to someone on the phone earlier this week. I think it was Friday. And they said, what in the world is going on? I mean, all the masks, all this. I said, let me tell you something. I said, the Lord's about to return. This is all a result of sin. The one world government, the one world economic system, the one world religion is upon us. We're not escaping this, beloved. Now, those who are saved are going to escape. We'll be raptured out of here. But those who are lost can be left behind. And I'm telling you, I don't know how to say it, I don't know how to describe it, but the tribulation period is not a time of, you know, laziness and laid back and having fun. It's not. What does the Bible call it? The Great Tribulation. Time of great problems, great difficulties. You know, there's a short of food throughout the world. It hadn't come to America just yet, but it is breaking down. And it wouldn't be wrong for you to maybe, you know, get some food in the house. Stock up a little bit. I'm saying that all sincerely. I'm going to be preaching more on this as we get closer to the election. Uncertain times, perilous times. Now, you think you had problems in this life? If you remain here for the tribulation period, your problems are going to be insurmountable. Overwhelming. That's why the Bible says make your calling and election sure. You make sure that you're saved. The Bible tells us here, souls are dying. The nation's about to be exterminated. And then the Bible tells us, 1 Samuel 21:8, the king's business requires haste. Now, who are you serving? We're serving the Lord, then make haste. Number 5, Aaron did not go empty-handed. The Bible says he took up a censer. He had a designated tool for a designated manner. And he took a censer. It really was a fire pan, a container, sometimes made of brass, sometimes of gold. A censer speaks of a priesthood. And the Bible tells we're part of the priesthood that God has made. There's a thing called the priesthood of a believer. And, you know, we don't need to have a priest intercede for us. We go directly to God. And the censer speaks of that. He put fire in the censer from off the altar. An altar is a fire which consumes a sacrifice. An altar reminds us of the sacrifice of Christ. Christ died as a propitiation for our sins. He gathered all the wrath of God upon himself, interceding for sinful man. And Christ offered himself to undergo the penalty for our sins, and he sacrificed is the only base of God's forgiveness. He put incense on a fire. And incense represents prayer, intercession, kindled by the fire and based upon the sacrifice. The Bible tells us that we need to pray in the power of the Spirit. Jude 20 tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the intercession to the Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ often intercedes for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans 8. And let's look at some verses here about God's intercession for us. Romans 8, we pick up here in verse 34. The Bible says, "Who is this? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And then notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And the Bible says in chapter 7, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him, seeing," now watch this, "seeing ever liveth to make intercession for them." He not only prays for the saved, but he prays for the lost, that they respond, that they come to Christ. I'm telling you, beloved, it's going to be a horrible day. You reject Christ, you're going to answer to God for this. Not answer to me, not answer to somebody else. Answer before God. Jesus Christ himself had ascended into heaven, see the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's praying for you as a lost person. You're going to give an account. What a horrible day that's going to be. You say, "Well, I know Christ was praying for me, but it means a whole lot to me." Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And notice, if you would, chapter 2 and verse 5. And the Bible says in verse 5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our intercessor. He's the one who's going to pray for us. He's the one who's going to intercede for the saved and lost alike. So prayers are important to God. He preserves them. The Bible says he puts them in Revelation 5, verse 8. He puts the tears in a container of some type. And he saves them. The vial speaks of a small vessel. The goal of the value that God places on prayers of his own. So we see, sixth of all, Aaron was ready and could go in an instant. Now this is very interesting. And the reason why is because he did not question. He did not hesitate. He did it without question. He was right with God. He did not have to waste time setting a time to start praying, to make the have that relationship right. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's always important, beloved, that you're right with God, that you're filled with God's Spirit, that you have the power of God in your life. And the Bible tells us that intercessor, sin must always be dealt with. And so we always are in fellowship with God. The Bible says, "Walk in light as he is in light." Why? That we might have fellowship with God. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. "He that covets sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy." So the importance of Aaron was ready. King Man of Aaron was told by Moses, "Run, make haste." And he said, "Well, I got to get right with God first." And he said, "Preacher, yeah." He could have said that, but he was right with the Lord. Number seven, the plague was real and literal. People die. Wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. The plague began when Adam sinned against God and death has reigned. All around, people are perishing, dying without Christ, without hope. This is terrible. The gospel should be preached throughout the island, should be preached throughout the city. You know what people are doing, what they're doing today? Because they're blind. They're lost. They're undone. And they need someone to intercede for them. They need someone to witness to them. They need someone. You say, "Oh, they're gone. They're a lost cause." I'm glad someone didn't say that about me. I'm serious. I'm glad someone didn't say about me. All around us, people are perishing and dying without Christ, without hope. And there's one thing that stands between us, between the dead and the living, and that's us, the intercessor, the one who prays, the one who stands. Remember when Ezekiel's asked, who stand in the gap? Who make up the hedge? Isaiah was Exodus. In Isaiah chapter 6, after God had cleansed them, Isaiah heard the Lord say, who shall we send? And who go for us? And maybe because you've not been interceding for others, maybe because you're wrapped up in the earthly things, the job, the home, the responsibilities. I understand that. But maybe because you're so consumed with that, you're not hearing the voice of God. God said, whom shall I send? And who go for us? And Isaiah heard the voice. He said, hear my Lord, send me. I'll go tell him. He knows his commission was, you're to tell others. Until when? He asked that question, when, how long do I tell them for? Till the cities be destroyed. Can I say to us, New Testament church, you're to tell others until Jesus returns. No quit. You're to intercede, you pray for others, pray for countries, and then pray for the lost, and then tell them. You got to tell them. You just pray is not good enough. So Aaron is a type of Christ as a high priest. And all the work of redemption Christ did as the Father commanded. Notice again verse 47, and Aaron took as Moses commanded. And the idea is that, you know, he commanded Aaron to go and Aaron went. And what happened? Verse 48, he stood between the dead and living, and the plague was stayed. So the idea that Christ commanded him and Moses told him to go and the plague was stayed. And Christ, the condemnation of God is averted. In Christ, the power of sin is arrested. In Christ, death is defeated. Jesus won the victory. Now, we, as God's priest, must get between the living and dead. And the Bible says the plague was stayed, is mentioned twice, here in verse 48 and verse 50. You know, I thank the Lord. I'll tell you this. I'm saying this, beloved, because God can use me. He can use anyone. I'm so thankful that after I was saved, I surrendered to God. I meant that with all my heart. I surrendered to God. I surrendered to salvation, but I mean, I remember going forward one night and praying. I just surrendered everything to God. I'm so thankful God called me to preach. I'm thankful that God's used me. And there has been a whole lot of people that with the plague has been stayed in their life. But there's people that are saved, they're going to wind up in heaven one day. And it's not me, but I was a tool used for God. I was a vessel used by the Lord. And I'll tell you right now that God will use you if you surrender your life, if you yield your life, if you do God's will for your life. God will use you. And I'll tell you, it doesn't mean you're going to be called to preach, but it does mean that God will use you as you intercede for others, other nations, other people. God will use you. And as you witness for Christ, I want to say this to encourage your heart. You know, we have another conference coming up. And I know we're living in the last moments of time. But a conference for someone to hear, someone to receive the Lord, someone to come to Christ. And I trust that we'll do that as we prepare for the conference, that we'll see people come. People will be invited. They'll come. And you may stay the plague in their life. Amen? Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no longer.